Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you so much, Christine, for that introduction. I hope the speciality that has been mentioned will really be seen. But yeah, this is all for the glory of God. So it's an honor and a blessing to stand before you today. Even me, I'm like, am I really here? Is it me? Or it's my twin? But I thank God, you know, when the Lord calls us, we're not going to go about questioning, banange, banange, you know. You always have to be prepared because we just never know when the Lord calls on you. Remember, he hopes that he can always have a vessel he can count on, trust on to do his work. So whenever we are called upon, we have to be ready to serve the Lord, because whatever we do it unto the Lord, not for anyone here. So as I stand here before you, it is a blessing and an honor to be able to minister to you today. And I pray that the words spoken will be from the Spirit, and I'm simply a vessel and a mouthpiece to what the Lord has to say to you today. So let's pray just before we begin. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this is the day you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for enabling each one of us to come here, that you have woken us up, Father. Not everyone goes to sleep and wakes up, Lord, but we are here to worship you, to be in your presence, to hear your word. And so we do not take that for granted. Father, I pray that as I stand before you, Father, I am only but a vessel and a mouthpiece for which you have chosen to minister your word to your children. I pray, Father, that your word will go forth with an anointing and a blessing to the people that will hear it, and that it will bring great glory and honor to your name and to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, so today, actually, I'm glad you gave that introduction. Oh, there is no first-time visitor, so you all know me. I won't introduce myself, but I'm here. Mrs. Namanya, married to Mark Namanya, the bank bencher there. Even when they ask people to move, he stays seated, disobedience. Yeah. And Akuma at the back there, Naguma. Naguma, yeah, Nagumaho, like them off. Yes, and the children, I have four children, two girls, two boys. Today they are here. They asked to stay around and listen to their mom, so I know they are going to judge me after this. But I'm glad they are here to be able to also learn that this is what the Lord does for those who follow him. Last, when I got the message to give the word today, I sleep very early, so it came in the night when I'd already slept. So I woke up to eat, and I was like, I even started with my husband. He's like, what is it? What is it? I said, no, a message has come through. And I told Pastor, wow. Yeah, but then I knew that, you know, this is, I know for some time now that Pastor is a tambulira moyo. He doesn't wake up and say things. So if he told me that you're to preach, I knew that the Lord had a hand in it, and I was like, okay, let his will be done, yeah. And then I began to start preparing. So my son, I told the family, and they were excited. On Wednesday, Alba, the youngest, told me, Mommy, you have to dream. You see how we say we dream dreams? Even the children, they said, Mommy, you have to dream about what I'm going to preach, you know? And he was really like, Mommy, you have to dream. I was like, I wish it was that simple. I would just sleep and dream, and the message comes. I told him, don't worry, God will give me a word to share. So as Christine talked of, even when we go through, like she introduced me as even knowing, even if I go through trials, I press on. I thank God because that is in line with what I wanted to preach today, what I felt the Lord impress on my heart to share with you. So the word that we are going to share in today, I will title it, or I have titled it, Endurance in the Lord. I know we're at a season where we're expecting sente. We've been told money, financial provision, so people are in that zone. But I know that even as we wait, for the promises of God are yes and amen. we know that they will come to pass. His word is true, it's believable. We know that that is done. If it fails in any part, I believe it's our doing. I know that the Lord has gone back on his word. But even as we wait for those promises to come, I believe there's some trials, some struggles, some endurance needed, you know, in our day-to-day life as we wait on these promises of God to come. And so we are going to see what the Lord says about having endurance in him. So for the sake of my children, let me explain. Let's start with knowing what the word endure or endurance means. In the Englishman's words, endure is to suffer something painful or difficult patiently. The key word is patiently. You do suffer something painful or difficult patiently. And endurance, the word that we're going to see mostly on, is the ability to endure, having now known what endure means, an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Without giving way, you press on, you persevere. And now, because we are Christians, we're also going to try and explain what spiritual endurance is, because that's what we're going to focus on. So spiritual endurance is the power to withstand hardship, especially the inward fortitude necessary. Fortitude in this case means the courage in pain or adversity. You know, you remain with courage despite the adversaries before you or the pain you're going through. You withstand. And the Bible teaches us that endurance is the ability to lean on God for strength during life's trials. There will always be life's trials as we grow. Even these young ones, they have trials in their own little ways. They may not worry about fees and what, but, you know, I haven't done homework, my book is lost, what am I going to tell the teacher? All those are things that, you know, they go through in their own way. So it's important that we also teach them about endurance. So the Bible teaches us that endurance is the ability to lean on God for strength during life's trials. It's also about going through trials without wavering or compromising. There's no shortcut. Chize. We must go through it the rightful way. There's no compromising. And the Bible also says that it's developing endurance is essential for Christians. As long as you're a Christian, you will learn, or you must learn, to endure, so that we accomplish that which the Lord has called you to do, or expects of you, or has mentioned of you to do. I mean, no one enjoys suffering. There's no one who enjoys suffering. We all wish we'd just glide through life, you know, until we go and meet our Lord. No one enjoys suffering, but suffering is necessary. And it's a normal part of a Christian life. In fact, I think Christians over suffer more than they kind of people, because we are always being tested, yeah? God wants to see, is this person with me over Ambuza Abuza? So I think Christians go through a lot. So it is necessary and normal of the Christian life. In fact, scriptures say we can expect hardship and suffering to increase. So we must be prepared. Let's look at that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this particular topic, we shall read more. We'll have other passages, but we'll be more on the book of Timothy, because as I researched, I found that it brought out more on what I wanted to share. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "You therefore must," the key word is must, "endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So we know that as a Christian, we are expected to suffer hardships, and that they will even increase the more we grow. And there have been testimonies here of what people have grown through and have persevered, and the Lord has come through. So the Bible tells us we therefore must endure hardship as a good Christian. We also learn from the book of Timothy, I say that we'll dwell a bit more on this, so for some, it might be like a Bible study, but we'll see other chapters if time allows, that we may experience suffering as a result of our testimony, or we may experience suffering because of our godly living, or we may experience suffering because of our stand for the truth. and we'll look at what Scripture says about that. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, which says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Remember, we said that we suffer sometimes because of a result of our testimony. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." We are walking in our promise. We are soon going to really be full in it, I believe, Christ to the nation. Not everyone who comes here or you approach to will be kind or accept your word, but you must, you know, endure in suffering for the sake of the word of God. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Yeah. "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained." Here Paul is telling Timothy that he suffered trouble as an evildoer. He went through this suffering himself, but he persevered. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, which says, "Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." As I mentioned, sometimes we'll go through suffering or hardship because of our stand for the truth. And the Bible says, all who desire to live in godly Christ, as long as you get the desire and actually start walking a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. There is no shortcut, so we must prepare for it. We may also experience suffering when we are rejected or left alone. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens, for Galatia, Titus, for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for my ministry." So as I read this passage, this verse, I could feel, I would imagine the tone or the emotions with which he was saying, "Please be diligent to come to me quickly." You know, the feeling of being left alone and having someone maybe to lean on. Living even the Christian life, we're encouraged that we are, for health reasons or people who are more into like our lifestyle and what, we're always encouraged to have somebody to talk to, someone to you can go to when you have challenges, when you have issues, because it's believed that when you hold issues or troubles, mental illnesses or running mad would start from there. So being left alone and the feeling of being alone and not having somebody to share with in your suffering can lead to suffering. Yeah. So, and we know that suffering will indeed come, as we have agreed, but God can give us grace, and he will give us grace and power to overcome every trial and to fulfill our purpose and mission in his kingdom. We all have a purpose. By the time the Lord gave you to your parent, even before you became your parents, you are his. And he had a plan, he had a purpose for you. And for us to be able to fulfill this purpose and this mission for his kingdom, we know that we shall have to stick on, to go through certain level of suffering, certain level of trials, certain level of, you know, feeling rejected. But the Lord encourages us to push on so that we're able to fulfill. The goal is to fulfill the purpose. It's like you're in a race. You start here and you have to finish along the way. Are you going to give up? The Lord expects you to push on until you get to the final, to fulfill your purpose. So we're going to look at people in the Bible who showed endurance. We live by the Bible, we believe the word, we know it is true, it is believable, and we're going to see people who went through endurance. So if they were able to go through this endurance and overcome, how much so we who are called to live like Christ Jesus, who feed on the word to guide us to grow spiritually, we get examples from the Bible to enable us to live the kind of life that the Lord wants us or expects us to live. So we're going to see some few examples of who in the Bible showed endurance. Paul. Paul showed constant endurance in trials. I want to believe during our Bible study or free times, we're always encouraged to read the Bible that we know about Paul and all the trials that he went through. But he showed constant endurance. He pressed on for God's grace. And now it's like one of the most used, the books he wrote that are preached on greatly to, and are very impactful to the Christian life. So we know that Paul is an example of someone who went through very much constant endurance, but he pressed on by God's grace. Another person who went through this is Job. We know the story of Job. We know how Job suffered. He's the ultimate test of faith and an example of perseverance. Like when I read the book of Job, I'm like, but God, how can you let someone really go through all this, you know? Like, this man suffered. This man really suffered. And I was like, how can someone even persevere? People here, just something as simple, I don't know. As, you know, being told that maybe or just to get to a certain destination, you have to cross a certain mass of water and what, and while you're there, the waves are coming, and you're like, please, take me back. It's okay. Let it pass. It's for someone else. They say, and then they start quoting the thing of cowards live longer. So you're like, is a friend who told us for him, he cannot be there. He calls it loitering. No, I like to move, travel, Uganda, what. And so when we're explaining to him, oh, we've been to these places, they are beautiful, you should go for a game drive. And what is like, loitering gave you. I cannot. He tells the wife, I will bury you. I said, really? Because the wife loves such things. Yes, he's like, I will bury you, you know, because you like to move. What is it? I want to be in my loitering. He called it loitering. I said, really? It's not loitering, it's called traveling. It's exploring, not loiter, it's a different. Yeah, so you see, such a person gives up, you know, even before they begin. But we know that Job really stood the test of time. He was an example of perseverance. He overcame the schemes of the devil and the judgment of his friends. And the Lord was pleased with him. The other example is David. David was an anointed king of Israel, but tormented by King Saul, who chased him for years. But David endured very many hardships and never stopped praising God. Yes, he continued praising God regardless of what he was going through, because he knew that which he was pushing for or called to do. This is what we are going to learn. Like, we need to know what the Lord has called us to and just trust. Where the Lord calls or sends you, he will go with you. He will give you the grace. He will give you protection. He will provide. You just have to say, yes, Father, here I am. And you will go through those trials with him. The other example is Moses. Moses persevered through plagues, through the Pharaoh's army, through the stubborn people, those Israelites. They really disturbed this man, you know. I imagine that someone else would have been like, Naaman, tumwe. Yeah, I'm done, Katona, I'm done. See, Jack Malako, these people, you find someone else, because they were really, really stubborn. We all know how the Israelites behaved on that journey before, you know, they got to the promised land. And Moses did his part. Yes, he didn't get to see the promised land, but he persevered. It must have been very annoying. You know, people have seen miracles. People have seen the Lord do things. And they're still complaining. They're still making you feel. It's very easy, I believe, in this world at that point, to just give up and say, I'm done. I can't manage this. You know? But he said no, because he knew that which the Lord had asked him to do, and he believed the Lord would keep him. We also see Ruth, who faced poverty. She faced death, social discrimination, which I would say, I want to believe that she struggled to adjust to the culture when she moved back with Naomi. The people, but we see how she persevered and was in obedience, and in the end, she was able to receive her reward. Peter, the apostle, also overcame personal and spiritual struggles to show belief in Christ Jesus. And we also have Elijah. Elijah was the most powerful prophet in Israel, but he was pushed to the brink when Jezebel threatened to have him killed. Pastor John has been here and talked about like how she just also couldn't believe how this man, after all what he could do, with all the authority, the power, the belief he had in God, and now he was being threatened that he would be killed, and, you know, he took off. But we see that God came through. He sent an angel to provide food, provide water, and showed him power and tenderness. And then ultimately, the best example really for me is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know how the Lord endured. My daughter the other day, when she finally got to read the book of Matthew and saw how Jesus suffered before he died on the cross, she was like, she even testified. Yeah, she's like, God really, Jesus really suffered. And the least we can do as Christians is just to fulfill the, to walk in the reason why he suffered, so that it's not in vain, because he suffered shameful death. Like, when I envision, I can't imagine how the Lord loved us so much. Who of you here can sacrifice your children because you want to save other people? But the Lord sent us Jesus Christ. He died. At one point, he prayed, I think, asking the Lord if he could take this from him. But he was quickly to say, let your will, you know, not my will. And the Lord came and strengthened him. So if Christ, who we are called to live by, whose example we follow, who we are called to walk in this earth as he did on earth, was able to endure, moreover, very painful suffering, how much so ourselves, you know, with the trials that come our way as we walk with the Lord. So those are some of the examples of the people who endured hardship in the Bible. And this is just so you know that you're not the first ones. Say from long ago, they've been suffering and they've gone through it. So there is no excuse. By the way, this is just to show you that there is no excuse. You now know that if Paul, if Job, if Jesus, if Peter did it, how about me? The same God that helped them endure those hardships is still here. Same yesterday, today, forever. He's still here. And so he can do the same for us. Yeah. So I would want, I'm going to share, I'll call them principles, or you can call them ways, and this is where I really want to dwell on, principles of enduring suffering. What can we do to help us endure suffering? What are the ways, what are some of the things that we can look at that will help us to go through trials, difficulties, to endure? Because we now know from what we have seen, we must build a muscle of endurance in the Christian life. So the first principle, or the first way which we can do this, is don't forget why you are suffering. Do not forget why you're going through the trial, why it has come your way. Remember your purpose and who you serve. For those, if we don't know for a fact that this is my calling, like let's say now we know Pastor Moses is called to preach, or with their teachers, the apostles, if you don't know for a fact that now for me this is my calling, at least we know that one thing for sure for all of us is we are called to live like Christ, to walk with God, make disciples of Christ. At least let that be the purpose that, and the reason why you walk or you live a godly and Christian life. So remember your purpose and whom you serve. Apostle Paul said he was willing to suffer for the proclamation of the gospel, for the sake of the elect and for the glory of God. So our suffering, whether big or little, it can be used to bring about the same purposes. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. Okay, and it says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain a salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We see that he said that he endures all things for the sake of the elect, and they, that they might also obtain salvation. He knew his purpose, he knew his agenda, he knew his mission, that I need people to obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. So regardless of what I go through, I must stick to the reason as to why I'm doing this. And that's why he says he was able to endure for the sake of the elect, and that people may obtain the salvation in Christ Jesus. So that's the first way that can help us to endure suffering. Always don't forget, know your purpose, know who you serve, and let that be a motivation for you to push on. Number two, remember that you're a prisoner of Christ, not of your circumstances or other people. 2 Timothy 1:8, I think we saw that earlier. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. We are prisoners of Christ. Our circumstances, other people should not define, you know, whether you that kind of suffering you go through. They should not determine that now I'm decided that this time, okay, I'm going to punish you up to this time, now you can stop. I'm under this one's mercy. We've had that statement before when you're in trouble and you're like, okay, I just have to do this, Mnange. He calls the shots. Without them, I am, you know. We are not under anyone's, we're not prisoners of our circumstances or any other people, but prisoners of Christ. And if we are prisoners of Christ, then we know that we can trust him to deliver us through any hardships that come our way. The third point is to keep going back to the things you know to be true from God's word. Keep going back to those things that you know to be very true about the word of God. We know that the word of God is true. It is spirit. It is life. It's believable. It's trustable. It's life. It's what we as Christians feed on to be able to grow spiritually. So do not doubt in the dark what you have seen in the light. For all the troubles that we go through, or most of us, you've gone through troubles before. There must be a scenario where you went through a similar situation and the Lord came through. And you actually know that the Lord, this one, without a doubt, you know those testimonies where you're like, there is no way you can lie to me. This was divine. It's the hand of God. It is God who saw me. So when you have those examples of what you've seen the Lord do for you, when this moment of dark comes back, go back to remember what the word of the Lord said about that situation that delivered you, and use it for this particular circumstance that you may be going through. Remember what you've received as a result of your salvation in Christ. You know, God calls us to live in remembrance. If we block away the things the Lord has done, it will be hard for us to move on with things that come on. Because the things in the past where the Lord has come through, he wants you to do that. He's the same God. If he did it for you then, he will do it for you now. You also have to remember the result. What did we get when we got salvation in Christ Jesus? What are those things that we received? You know, there's forgiveness of sins. Our sins were forgiven. We have eternal life in him should we continue to walk with him as he commands. We're adopted into the Lord's family. We have fellowship with Christians, deliverance from the enemy, from the evil, his schemes, his ways. We have the mercy of God. God is very merciful. If you remember this, he doesn't delight in anyone's trouble or suffering. He's very merciful, and we know that we have that mercy. And they are new every morning. You just have to go to him and remind him, and he will come through. Sometimes he accepts these levels of trial for a reason, just to test you, to see. Because he's almighty, he can remove that issue even in a split second. He can just, you know, in an hour or 30 minutes, change your circumstances. But he might let it continue because he wants to build maybe your character. He's going to use it for you to bless others. He's going to test you to see, are you really with him, or you only come to him when you have troubles. So those are the things that we need to remember. The mercy of God, which is there. Justification by faith. Growth in grace. Grace is available. It abounds. It's with us. The authority that he has given us when he left us to go back to sit at the right hand of the Father. The authority we have over the things of the earth. So when you remember these things that we got as a result of our salvation in Christ, they should be able to help you to endure. Remember your calling and the grace of God. The grace of God is very sufficient. And in the Bible, we see even Paul keeps mentioning in his books, like, the grace of the Lord be with you. May the grace be with you. Because it's there. He can't say, may the grace of the Lord be with you when it's not there. And he expects us to utilize this grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 13.
It says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. We know that the grace was given to us. We have to ask for it and we have to use it. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things for the reasons we have seen above. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I am, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love in Christ Jesus. The main thing that I wanted us to see was that the grace of God has been given to us, and we can ask for it, and we have it. So we utilize it during times when we need to build our endurance. Because naturally, it's easy to want to give up. But when you remember some of these principles that I'm sharing with you now, and the, what the Bible says about them, they should help you to build that endurance muscle, which will help you finish your course. Yes. The fourth point is, keep doing whatever God has called you to do. Just keep doing what God has called you to do, you know? A perfect example would be, our church. We were many. The truth was revealed. People left. Pastor could have said, why? Let me come be vague, or maybe let me go back. I don't know. Maybe let me go and continue in medicine and what. But he kept doing. I want to believe that even if Pastor walked in there and there were five people here, the word of God would be preached here. You keep doing what the Lord has asked you to do, whatever he has required of you to do. And you don't give up. Don't be like, but Father, you told me to do this, Choka, I'm just suffering. Now, what is the point of this, No, he has a purpose, he has a reason as to why he expects you to continue doing that. And so he tells us to persevere and stay the course and be faithful regardless of opposition or hardship. Stay the course, be faithful, be faithful. The Lord sees it all, the Lord knows it all. He is very, very faithful. And the appointed time when he's pleased, at his time when he's like, yes, when it pleases him, he will come through and you will see his faithfulness. And even it gives more weight to the testimony, like whatever testimony you have, it gives it weight. It's impactful when people hear how you persevered, how you were faithful, and how the Lord has come through. It's more impactful, in my opinion, than when you just give up and, okay, you might say, Lord, I gave up, I don't have the heart feel, but no, the Lord expects or would want for you to persevere and go through. Let's just look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, and see what it says about this. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think it's Pastor John was joked here one time that this is the only church where people, they argue, they don't agree like with what the pastor say. Like I think this is important, like John is like, nah, this church is the only church where people, don't agree. But that's not what we are. I know where we come from. But there are those who you preach to who will not endure, like they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears and they will heap for themselves teachers. But that shouldn't deter you. You stick to the word, stick to the truth, be faithful, and leave the rest to God. The fifth point is to trust God to deal with those who oppose the truth. Don't take matters into your own hands or become bitter or argumentative. Don't stand here when you're talking to someone and the person is like, Neda, me have refused, Like, don't take it personal. Don't be bitter. Don't be angry. Don't block them, Don't delete them everywhere, social media, because just they refuse to probably, believe in what you are saying. And we can see this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 to 26. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. You've heard of this saying where sometimes you're two people arguing and the person is like, just leave, chill, because how will we know who the fool is? What's the difference, you know, between you and, like, be the person that is mature and that is, you know, exemplary in the ways of the Father. So avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. You fight in your heart. In your head, punch them, box them, what, but sure, be gentle, you know. Finish it in your heart. Do not let it come up. Self-control, in other words, teach and patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps may grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. God might, you know, come through and say, okay, for the sake of my child's laboring, let me have mercy on this person. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive for him to do his will. So don't take matters into your hand. Don't be argumentative. The Bible says we need to be gentle. We need to be calm. And do not take offense from those who oppose us. And once you follow these things, because you might be laboring, suffering to get someone to come to you, and they are just there really annoying you. Don't be argumentative, just press on to the word. The sixth point is, remember times in the past when the Lord rescued you. This is similar to what I said earlier. Be quick to praise him, like David, and testify to others. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all Gentiles may hear, also as I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Remember the times in the past. The other example is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, which says, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. I endured. There had to be something before the delivery. God can't deliver us not there to deliver. I endured, and out of them, the Lord delivered me. So remember the times in the past when the Lord rescued you. The Lord has rescued, I believe, each one of us in one or another, in our own ways. You know, where we've been struggling, where you'd have testified here myself, where, you know, I had a need at that very point, I didn't know what to do, and then the Lord just came through. So remember these times when the Lord rescued you and delivered you. So in the very instance or whatever trial you're going through, even as we wait for these promises, you know, whatever suffering, whatever trials might come through, please endure and stay the course. The Lord will deliver you. You have to endure, and then he will come through. He needs to see that level of endurance. And then the other point is, rely on the resources God has given you. Rely on the resources the Lord has given us. And what are some of these resources? I'll list some. The grace of God. We have talked about that in the verses prior. The grace of God, it's available, it is there. We seek the grace of God to do things. And we don't deserve it. We don't, like, it's not, don't be entitled that because I'm a Christian, I must have the grace of God. We don't do anything for him to give us that grace. It is there out of his love for us. He gives us the grace. So the grace of God is one resource you can use when you're going through this endurance. Then the other resource is the gift of God. That is your God-given ability to serve him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. We all have a God-given ability to serve him. And this is my belief, that every one of us, as we are born, we have that ability to serve the Lord. It's there. It is there. People just suppress it. And that's why salvation is a choice. You can choose to walk with God or not. It is there. The ability to serve God is among all of us. We just have to make a decision to choose it. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We have the gift of God in us. We have the ability to serve him. So use that ability. Use that ability to go and do what he has called you to do, and that he will guide you and strengthen you through whatever trials you go through. The other resource is the power of God rather than your own strength. There's nothing we can do in our own strength. We need the power of God, and we know that there's the power of the Lord is something real. You can't do much on your own strength. You live, even if you try and you say God out of his mercies, you can be like achinunzenjachikwatako, I can manage. And you go along the way and things backfire and you now come back to God. You're like, you know what, God, be a ganya, I'm back. And you say, out of his mercy, he will still come through. So we have to believe and trust in the power of God rather than use our own strength. Because when you use your own strength, you're going to be demotivated, you're going to be drained, you're going to get tired, you're going to get weary, you're going to get weak. Trust in the power of the Lord. Trust him to do what he does best, you know. For we know that there's power in his name, there's power in the things that he does. Let's look at this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, which says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is the Lord who works in us. We cannot do this on our own. And also in Ephesians 6:10, which says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the power of his might. If you use this resource and that understanding that I can be strong in the power of the Lord, this should be able to help you go through your sufferings. And the other resource is the Word of God. The Word of God, it will keep you grounded and it will give you perspective. It will give you perspective. We feed on the Word of God. It is spirit, like I said. It is life. It is power. You know, it is living, never fades, never dies. You can always apply it to every situation that you have. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 to 17. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from who you have learned them from. We know that words that were written or by Paul and all the other people that wrote in the Bible were inspired of God. They represented the heart of God. They were of God. So we can rely and trust on the Word of God that will keep us grounded and give us perspective. So those are some of the resources that you can, that God has given us. They are there. Use them and they will help you. They will for sure help you to go through your any trial that comes away that needs you to endure, to not give up, to not throw in the towel, to be patient and wait for that promise, even when it just looks so grim all around you. Trust in the Word. Continuing to the other, to the ways that can help us endure, remember that you are not alone in your suffering. You know, you're not alone. You already have the presence of Christ. You know? You have the prayer of other believers. The presence of Christ, let's see what it says in Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And that word I tried to read about it, and it kind of means to draw attention to. So I think, in my opinion, he meant to draw attention to the fact that he will always, even I am always with you, even to the end of the age. The Lord is always with us. His presence is always with us. We ask him for his presence, and it's with us. It protects us, it guides us, it strengthens us, it's there. It's at our disposal. The Lord is present in our lives for as long as we are walking with him. The prayer of other believers is the other thing that you already have. Pray for one another. There are people who, we, as a church, I have seen that we've prayed for people who are going through hardships. They've stood here, we've laid hands, we've prayed for them, we've prayed for their circumstances. So believe in the prayer of other believers. Personally, I believe the Lord saved me because of the prayers of my father. I believe if the Lord had, my father had not been the kind of prayerful person he was in my life, probably I wouldn't even be a different story, or you wouldn't even know me. I have just given a brief of, I strongly believe that the Lord saved me because of my father's prayer, because, yeah, I was in another world altogether. When I think back, I for sure know daddy's prayers saved me. So the prayer of other believers will strengthen us, will endure us. People are praying for you. God can say, okay, because of so and so, I will save this person. Because of the pastor, the prayer that say the pastor has made for you, I will come through. Not necessarily because you've done anything to believe it, but the Lord has heard the prayer of other believers. Then the fellowship of suffering. This is other believers who are facing hardship for the sake of Christ. We meet here, we share. There are people you can talk to in church, you know, when you're going through challenges. There are people who are going through a similar situation with you. So sharing with them, talking with them, it strengthens you. You know, you can even be like, I thought I had issues, but Bambi, Nalatwana's issues, you know. You're like, Bambi, at least me, Zewendi Kaleko. There's an example of somebody here, but I will not say this is for our marriage fellowship. If you want to hear, you come for the fellowship where I told my friend Bambi, Mukazi Munange, ngoni mubi. You know, when I thought that. but share with other people who are going through hardship. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed what they can encourage you, how they went through that similar circumstance, how you know that, okay, God, for me. Yeah, and then you also pray for them. So get into the habit of sharing with fellow believers. Talking to someone who will start giving you advice that is so not godly. Yeah, and to be able to do these things that you already have, you can cultivate some of these things. Number one, I'll call them godly helpers. Find a group of like-minded believers whose faithfulness and prayers can strengthen you. Prayer meeting is one of those moments. We have been here last Thursday, actually. You know, Praise gave you a perfect testimony of how a prayer that Pastor Joanne made strengthened her, refreshed her, because she came feeling the same thing. She was enduring and she had given up. She was like, Mukama, I've tried 1, 2, 3, 4 vegan. And that day we came here, it just so happened to be what Joanne was talking about, and she felt refreshed. So godly helpers, find people, you know, believers whose faithfulness can inspire, strengthen you. For lack of a better word, I'll say godly heroes. These are people you can listen to, read or listen to, Rick Joyner, Kenneth Hagin, you know. Faithful believers, listen to them, read about them, so God can cultivate faith and wisdom in your heart. As you read them, you get faith, you get wise. You're like, okay, so this is how I should tackle this. This is what the Lord expects to do. This is get into the habit of listening to godly men who have maybe gone or are not with us, and you know are impactful in certain circumstances. And then godly heritage. Learn about those who have gone before you, and this will be able to instill faith and courage in the next generation, even in our children. Tell them stories of, you know, the past people who have gone before us, what they did in certain situations. Like I said, they also have their own challenges, little challenges, and it might seem very small to you, but at that particular moment, the child is really struggling, like they don't know what to do. I think Noel gave an example here, how I think the dream which he interpreted there, and then which I didn't even think I would have interpreted, you know. That was his struggle then. But if you teach them, you know, about these people, what is done, what to expect, they too, in their generation, will be able to pass this on to their children. And the other bit, as I conclude, is no matter how difficult things are today, you can face the future with hope. Trust the truth of the scripture. And some of the truths are that God will right the wrongs that we have done. God is a very forgiving father. He's a God of second chances. Don't be like, Bananga, how can I even go to God with this issue? God, I've messed up. He will right wrongs. He will forgive you. He's a God of second chances. He is very loving. He is loving. If I'm to give you a testimony of how I felt the love of God, we shall live here at 2. But I have experienced the love of God, like I said, through my past life. When we sing that song, all my life the Lord has been faithful, for me it's just too personal, because I look back and I'm like, how am I even here? So the Lord is merciful. He's merciful, he's loving, he will right your wrongs, he will forgive you. You know, the other truth is that the Lord will deliver you from all evil in his time. in his time and in the meantime, and in his own way, you will not even know. You know, you'll be there thinking you're still in the problem, then all of a sudden, by the way, the other issue is no longer. And we've had those kind of testimony where it just happens and you weren't even thinking about it, because the Lord will deliver you from that evil. In the meantime, cancel your heart. Cancel your heart according to the truth and the promises of God. This is in Psalm 27, but we shall not go there. You can read it in your time, you know. In the meantime, do your part. We have to partner with the Lord. Do your part, and he will come through and deliver you. And then all your suffering, all your effort, all your labor, all your faithfulness will be rewarded in that day when the believers stand before the Lord. There are a number of verses we can read in this, but let's just look at one, James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. It could be suffering, could be endure is the key thing here. You will receive your crown. Let this just be at the back of your head that you know, my crown, I cannot let go of that crown. I know that there's something waiting for me. So I will press on. I will do all these things that the Lord has equipped me with to go through this challenge. I will walk the walk of faith. I will press on. I will njakuguma. Come and buy, I will kuguma until the Lord. Because we know that what he has said will already come to pass. It's true. It is done. There's nothing you can do for him to change it. So then do your part so that you receive that which he has already promised you. I mean, you will give an account. You will give an account. So guard that deposit that you've been entrusted in. Guard it. Because when you stand there, what will you say? That I didn't have the grace. I didn't have fellowship of believers. I didn't have the word. I couldn't go back to scriptures of people who everything is at your disposal. It is up to you to utilize it to go through this true endurance. You have to build that muscle. And finally, in the ways we can endure is in all your suffering, remember Jesus Christ. I like to use him last, not because he's, you know, like he's too, save the best for the last. Yes, because of that. In all your suffering, remember Jesus Christ. Remember his life and suffering for you. I've just explained here, and we all know what he went through. Remember, just to be like, I don't have money, but someone is offering me a bribe. Some school fees. This guy comes, give me this deal. Million, you know, $1,000. And you're just about to. You just remember what God went through for you. For any reason, let it. Okay, let us not make his suffering be in vain. Let that alone be a motivation that, Bambi, no. It will be bad if Christ went through this for nothing. So you remember that. His triumph over Satan, over sin, over death. We know that he triumphed over Satan. He has no stronghold in our life. We have the authority given to us over him and his demons. At the sound of his name, Jesus, he will flee. The power in the name of Jesus. Anything where there's Jesus, Satan cannot dwell. If he sees the demons come and they see the anointing on people, they're like, that one do not dare. We've had testimonies here when it comes to the teaching on the demonics, how they scout. You know, they know that that one is a no-go. That church, you know. So remember that that is the authority, the victory that Christ gave us when he died on the cross. His death, let his death not be in vain. Let his death at least be the reason. Whatever we go through, for as long as you've chosen to walk with him, you will endure. You will persevere just like he did. I'm very sure you would have been like, Nayenze, Wachi, why did you pick me? You know, but no. He trusted the Lord to strengthen him. Remember his power, his promises. Isaiah 43:2-3. These are one of his the things he has assured us. So we have to remember his power. We've talked about his power previously. We have to remember the promises that he has given us. We have to remember that we have his presence. His presence can go before us. It can shield us. It can protect us. It can defend us. These are things that we need to remember when we are going through. Yeah, so Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. nor shall the flame scorch you. You will not be burned. Just believe. He has said it, and we know that his word is true. So this should encourage you to be like, yeah, this city is hot, but I'm going to press on. Why? Because he said, when I walk through the fire, I shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. So we have to remember some of these promises. The other thing to remember is what he is doing for you in heaven. We have to remember what the Lord is seated at the right hand doing for us. He's doing things. He's seeing you. He's preparing, you know. John 14, 2 to 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That's where I am, there you may also be. So we know that Christ is seated there, and he has gone to prepare. He is preparing a place for us. Now, how will you get this place if you don't endure what you're going through, if you give up along the way? You know, he'll be preparing that place for you in vain. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercessions for us. Christ makes intercessions for us. We have to know that. You have to know that he's not just seated folding his hand laughing that, hey, catch coche, you know. No, he doesn't delight in those things. He's making intercessions. He's praying. He's sending angels, you know, to come and strengthen you, to deliver you. And let the angel come and find you in that posture, you know, ready to receive. Not to find the, okay, it's natural to cry and be in that zone, you're downcast. It's very normal. But don't stay there long. Let the promise, let the answer, let the angels come and find you with a heart, you know, ready to receive. Not that they have to first deal with a beaten heart, with the banangi, now the emotions, let's first put them in place. Then the answer is delayed. Remember that Christ is making intercessions for us. So those are some of the ways. I've listed 10 of them. For those that have taken note, that can give you, you know, help you to go through endurance. They will help you to endure suffering, trials, temptation, anything that comes your way. Yeah? And what does God say about endurance? If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. So we have to endure so that we reign with him. Along the way, if you saw your katonda wa mwebambi, you've heard statements. And okay, this usually comes from a point of so much pain. And through encouragement, maybe the person comes. Statements like, where was God when so and so happened? Where was God, you know? I cannot believe in your God. How can he let children like that die? You know, such statements. I mean, it's natural to feel that. But you have to remember all these other things. And be quick to get out of that zone. And know that that very God can comfort you. And that pain goes like it has never existed. When my father died in 2015, he was sick. He died of cancer, and he was very sick. And at one point, I remember telling God, if it means that you take him so that he stops suffering, it's okay. But of course, you say it, it's not what you really want. I was due to get married in 2 months. I was like, no, for this reason, he has to live, you know. But I kept praying, trusting God. I believed that he would be healed. I would even tell my sisters who are not born again, God can't shame me. That is going to be fine. God can't shame me. You know, but God had other plans. And yeah, the thing is, he died. I'd even been getting dreams saying the opposite, but I had faith, I had hope, which is good. I even don't know why the Lord allowed me to see him, because that day I was at work, it was no time to leave, but my spirit kept telling me, go to the hospital. So I was like, should I go? I was like, let me just go. And the day I went, is the day passed on, so I saw him. But I remember at that very moment, I felt peace. Like I was forcing myself to cry. I was like, this is not normal. I'm supposed to be like wailing, shedding tears. Well, no, this is not normal. I cannot be this calm, you know. Yes, I was hurt, more so because he wasn't going to be there at my wedding. But I just had a certain sense. Let me tell you, I had never known pain till my father died. Like I used to hear, but death is painful. I didn't know until I experienced it firsthand. And the word that the Lord comforts you, now came my life, that Lord, you people comfort. It's not just a word in the Bible. It is true. He comforted me. And he comforts his children. Comforts those who walk with him. And as after all the barrier and what, we had so many drugs from the medication, so we took them to a certain doctor who was treating him to help other patients instead of just throwing away the drugs. And I remember my sisters, most of them don't live here. There's one who lives in the US, one lives in Dubai. Myself and the one in the UK are the ones who are born again. The other two, but yeah, I'm still working on them. So I remember this one in Dubai was around and she told the doctor, but I want to be like Anne and Lydia. Because they couldn't understand why we were just calm. But for me, I knew that at that point the Lord had helped me go through this suffering. You know, he had managed to seal it. He had managed to just give me hope. I struggled to pray in the days that came because I kept saying the thing I was saying, you know, but God, how can you wanting to blame him? But he still remains God. He's still seated on that throne. Regardless of what we go through, he has his purposes. I don't know why he chose and my father needed to go then, but what comforts us is the fact that we know he died in Christ. And even I think if he had a chance to come back, you'd be like Neda, wanna see vow, you know. So those who die in Christ, you know, blessed are those. So I'm comforted by that. So this is just to encourage us, you know, to not give up on the loss. I had to quickly come back, get out of that zone and come back to continue to serve this very God who has done great and mighty things for us. He has seen us through. I've stood here and talked of our challenges as a family. Some are still ongoing, but I know, because this is even a sermon to myself, I know that the Lord through endurance will come through. Yeah, I know for a fact that if I endure, as I read this, I just saw the Lord telling me, yeah, this is also for you. As you may bless someone else or what, I know what you're going through. I know your needs, but you must show me that you can kuguma. You're not going to go and steal. You're not going to go and, you know, walk in sin to obtain money. For the elders who know what I mean, you are going to walk in righteousness and endure and wait upon me. So the Lord says if we deny him, he will deny us. And with that in mind, I mean, it's no wonder that Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, you don't have to put this up, that he that endureth to the end, the same will be saved. Yeah? So God gives us strength through trials when we let endurance grow and be tested. He gives us strength. He needs to know that he can count on you to finish the race. So as I conclude, we know that endurance is a word in the Bible. It is a must. You must learn to endure. It is a must. We must learn how to endure and not run away from hard things. The only way to get through is to go through. You have to go through. That is the only way to get through. Go through it. Go through it with all the things that we have talked about here. And trust me, you'll come out victorious. Outlast the devil. Stick with God. Eh? Do not quit. Do not give up. Tell the devil you can do all you want, trying to wear me out, but I'm not going to give up. And he will feel, be like, oh no. Sijamu kuatako kamuleke. You know, run the race. Finish the course by fixing your eyes on Jesus. Expect suffering. Like I said, it's inevitable. But don't forget the powerful resource you have in Christ. Christ is a powerful resource to help us go through this. Everyone has a start life. In Hebrews 12:1-2, you don't have to put it up. When we say, I do to Jesus, we all have a start life. Whenever we say, I do to Jesus, the minute you say, I do to Jesus, there will be a start. And we also have a finish line. And we will not make it without endurance. There's a start, there's a finish. It's just like running. You must reach that final end, yeah? Yeah, so entrust your life to God, and he loves you, and he will help you endure. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.